This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. 10 presidential candidates will face off tonight in Houston in the Democrats' third debate of this presidential election season. This time, though, it'll be the first time folks will see all three of the front runners, the Democratic front runners, in the race together on the stage at the same time. Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders. They'll actually all be standing right next to each other. And this time there's only one debate rather than two nights of debate, although tonight might be a little longer than we've seen. But they still will be talking about many issues important to Democrats and the country, trying to differentiate themselves from each other in this long race. So we want to hear from you. Will you be watching tonight's Democratic presidential debate? What issues would you like the candidates to be asked about? How do you think they're going to try to differentiate themselves from each other? And will you be paying special attention to that Biden-Warren-Sanders trio? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a message on Twitter or Facebook at On Point Radio. Well, joining us right now from Austin, Texas, is Jenna Johnson, political correspondent for The Washington Post. Jenna, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so all eyes are on Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and Joe Biden tonight. I mean, is that really sort of the beating heart of this debate, is how the three of them interact with each other?
Yeah, I mean, it really is. We've had a few debates up till now, and everyone's been split up on different nights. So for voters who are really just trying to look at one stage, see everyone lined up, and really start to consider those candidates who are near the top of the polls, tonight is that night. And so all eyes, like you said, are going to be on the middle of the stage, Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren. And I think there's going to be particular attention on Biden and Warren. Mm-hmm. This is going to be the first time that the two of them are on the stage together. The two of them have kind of been duking it out near the tops of the polls. We've seen former Vice President Joe Biden kind of lose some of his stature in polling, but he's holding his own. He's not falling apart like some strategists had predicted. And we've seen Elizabeth Warren just really pulling ahead, building her support, building a movement, and getting a lot of support for all of these plans that she's putting out there. So the two of them are going to be side by side for the first time, kind of giving viewers an opportunity to directly compare them.
So do you think that it will be impossible for these two candidates in particular to resist kind of going after each other? As you said, this is the first time that voters will be able to see them side by side. Is there a risk, though, in Democrats sort of chasing after each other where ultimately one of them is going to have to be facing President Trump?
Yeah, I mean, all of the candidates like to say that they don't want this process to turn into a food fight. But at the same time, they're trying to show what makes them different. They're trying to point out the differences in their styles, in their leadership approaches, and in the stances that they've taken. And, I mean, when we look at candidates like Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, we have three pretty different approaches to the future of the Democratic Party, especially looking at Biden versus Sanders or Warren. You know, Biden's a former vice president. He talks a lot about kind of getting the country back to what it was. You know, he believes in the systems. He believes that things work the way they are, that we just need to get a new president in there and get things back to normal. Meanwhile, Sanders and Warren have been calling for really dramatic change. They've been saying that the systems are not working, and they've been advocating for some pretty progressive changes, things that those in the Biden camp like to say might not go over well in the Midwest.
Well, to the point you're actually making here, Jenna, let's listen to a couple of bites of what the candidates have been saying in recent days on the campaign trail. Both Biden and Warren were in New Hampshire, of course, for that all-important First in the Nation primary. They were in New Hampshire over the weekend. Vice President Joe Biden, or former VP, gave a speech at the New Hampshire Democratic Party convention on Saturday, and he took direct aim at President Trump, and here he is.
Folks, You all know in your bones this election is different than any you've ever faced. This president has unleashed the deepest, darkest forces in this nation. He's assigned a moral equivalence between those spewing hate and those with the courage to stand against it. I said after we saw those folks walking out of fields carrying torches in Charlottesville that we were in a battle for the soul of this nation, and we are.
It's Joe Biden in New Hampshire this weekend. And, of course, Biden's name recognition and his electability, quote-unquote electability, are a couple of the things that are pushing him still high in the polls amongst Democratic primary voters. But that question of electability, Elizabeth Warren has been asked about that quite a bit. And while she's rising in the polls, Jenna, as you've been saying, Democrats still wonder about how she would do facing off against President Trump. And she was asked that question by CBS News over the weekend in New Hampshire. And here's what she said.
I know how to fight and I know how to win. I've been around this block before. When I ran for the Senate, I never ran for public office before. And people said to me, woman can't win this seat. A very competent woman had just lost it. I started out down 17 points. I ended up beating that guy who was very popular by 7.5 points. You know, I make every day count and I stay in the fight for all the right reasons.
Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren in New Hampshire over the weekend. So, Jenna Johnson, talk to me more about what you heard Warren say there. Will she have an opportunity standing right next to Joe Biden tonight to further sort of prove her electability in the eyes of voters?
Yeah, totally. For a lot of Democratic primary voters, when they're watching these debates, they're trying to decide who can beat President Trump. I've talked to so many voters across the country who are really just beaten down by this Trump presidency, who are alarmed by what's happening, who maybe have seen their own lives change in really terrible ways, and they just want him out. They want someone who can beat him. And, you know, Biden has presented himself as that person. But at the same time, it seems like Joe Biden cannot make it through a simple campaign appearance without misstating something, without getting details of his past inaccurate. And all of those little gaffes are adding up and starting to worry people that, you know what, maybe he's not the polished politician and fighter that we thought he was. Elizabeth Warren has been presenting herself as someone who can fight and win. And on a debate stage, typically she is really recognized for her debating skills. She's been campaigning a lot more than Joe Biden. She's been giving a lot of speeches. She's been taking questions from the audience. She's really been working on this. And so tonight she has an opportunity to stand next to him and to perhaps outshine him.
Well, let's go to some callers. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And we're getting a preview of tonight's third Democratic presidential debate, which will be taking place in Houston. Let's go to Billy, who's calling from Amarillo, Texas. Billy, you're on the air.
Hello. I think that they're all far too intelligent not to recognize how critical it is that Trump be defeated and that Biden is the only one of them who is capable of doing that. And if they don't carry us too far to the left with pie in the sky, albeit good concepts but not viable concepts to the middle of the voting public, they're just helping Trump. Biden is a good person, and I'm very concerned that the beneficiary of this kind of a debate is Trump, and we are in dire straits.
Billy, thank you for your call. Jenna, what's your response to what Billy says? That his concern is that the biggest beneficiary of the Democrats facing off against each other is the president.
Yeah, well, Billy has concerns that a lot of Democrats have. Because winning the general election is very different than winning a Democratic primary. And the general election is probably going to come down to just a handful of states, many of them in the industrial Midwest, And with voters who are believed to perhaps be turned off by a lot of the progressive ideas that Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders are pushing, there's really kind of this friction in the party right now between, you know, do you want a candidate with a very pragmatic approach like Joe Biden, someone who says, listen, here's what I can actually get done, and I know how to get it done. Or do you want a candidate like Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren, who can be a little bit more of dreamers, who can kind of put out their biggest ideas and admit that, you know, maybe these things won't happen, but that America should be aspiring to these bigger ideas. You know, I mean, this is the tension in the Democratic Party right now. It's trying to figure out what it is and what sort of voters it wants to appeal to.
Well, let's go to Jackie, who's calling from Columbia, Maryland. Jackie, you're on the air.
Hi, Meghna and Jenna. How are you? I have an issue with how things are always portrayed. You keep hearing the same front runner names. You keep hearing things like saying that the election is going to boil down to a few states, which discourages people who are kind of fragile about their voting. The very things that the media talks about are the very things that it promotes, which is what caused Trump to be where he is.
Yeah,
I'm so frustrated with the media.
Jackie, actually, I really appreciate your call here. So thank you, Jackie, for that. Jenna Johnson, just upon Jackie's encouragement here, we should name the other candidates who will be on the stage. Cory Booker will be there. Pete Buttigieg will be there. Julian Castro, Kamala Harris, Amy Klobuchar, Beto O'Rourke, and Andrew Yang as well. I mean, I actually really hear what Jackie's saying, and I know a lot of people have also been quite critical of the Democratic Party, of the DNC itself, in terms of how it made the rules around who made it to this debate stage. I mean, is that a problem?
Yeah, it is. And there's a lot of voters who still feel burned by what happened in 2016 when they feel like the party kind of put their thumb on the scale for Hillary Clinton. And, you know, Jackie, thank you for your call, and I hear you loud and clear. So often when we only have, you know, a few minutes for a conversation or so much space in the paper, it's easy for us to really zero in on, you know, the top of the polls, the candidates who are getting the most attention. But tonight is really an opportunity for those on either side of the stage to try to break out, to try to get more than a few minutes to speak. We're going to be in Houston, and we have two Texans on the stage, both of whom can speak to what's happening in the state. And when we look at the electoral map across the country, I mean, it's really no mistake that Democrats are in Houston tonight. Texas is a fascinating place. It is a very quickly changing place. During the midterm elections last year, we saw in the Texas State House, Democrats picked up 12 seats in the Texas House. They're now just 9 seats away from taking over that chamber. You had Beto O'Rourke come close to beating Ted Cruz. You had Democrats slipping two House seats in the suburbs. And you have all of these polls showing that maybe Texas voters would pick a Democrat over Trump in the election. And so in addition to what we think we know about politics, it's good to admit that there's a lot that we don't know.
Yeah.
And things are very quickly changing. And we have to, like Jackie said, kind of keep that big-eyed look at what's happening.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point. Let's go to Renee, who's calling from Clearwater, Florida. Renee, you're on the air.
Hello, Meghna and Jenna. I appreciate you taking my phone call.
Go ahead.
I am calling to also voice my concern and frustration over the media's coverage over the other candidates besides the top three. And it's my opinion that those top three candidates are providing old solutions to our reality that is anything but old. Our current economy is changing, and it's changing very rapidly. And if with regards to automation, if we don't start talking about the future and how to really talk about how we are going to transform with our economy and make sure that all of us can succeed and that our crime rates continue to stay low. And I'm really looking forward to hearing Andrew Yang actually get time, because in previous debates, he has been cut off.
Yeah.
His mic has been turned off. And just you yourself, when you named the 10 candidates, you put him last.
Well, wait, hang on for a second, Renee. Hang on. With fairness, did you listen to On Point on September 5th?
Because I did not.
We talked to Andrew Yang for an hour.
I missed it. I apologize.
That's okay. Go to onpointradio.org. All of our archives are there. Check it out. We talked to him for an hour, and we spent a lot of time on his ideas about automation and universal basic income. But I appreciate your call, Renee, and thank you so much. I take your bigger point. Once again, Jenna Johnson, we're hearing people say, like, look, there's this artificial construction around who's getting all the attention in the media and through party mechanics. We just talked about that. There are 10 other candidates still in the race who didn't even make it to this debate stage. So I want to acknowledge that frustration that people have. But in the last minute, last 30 seconds, actually, Jenna, that we've got here, I want to hear from you what difference these debates actually make, right? Because in the previous debates, for example, Senator Kamala Harris, she got a big bump for a couple of days or maybe of a week after her performances there. But then she sort of lost that momentum and hasn't been rising in the polls. So are these debates really make or break?
Oh, gosh, that's a really good question, and I wish I had an answer for it. These debates can propel a candidate ahead who's lagging behind. They can introduce a candidate with little name recognition to, you know, millions of voters very, very quickly, but they can also, you know, trip up candidates, force them into, giving a very quick answer to a very complicated situation that they have to later explain later.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't know any candidate who loves this debate format, and especially with so many candidates, there's very little time.
Yeah. And Jen, I'm so sorry, but we've got 9 seconds here left, very little time for us. And I know you've got to get on the road to Houston. So Jenna Johnson with The Washington Post joining us from Austin. Thank you so much, Jenna. Have a great time tonight. This is On Point.